This is Two Point Conversion with BYU Football, where the Cougars from the Gridiron share insights and testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to another episode of Two Point Conversion. Here we are, another week. The weeks are flying by. Chase, it feels like we're sitting in this studio every other day. But
I mean, recently we have been. That's why.
That's fair. I guess
we're wanting the break.
On Thursday, yeah. Then the next Tuesday, and then we're recording another episode this week with going over Section 76 with Professor Anthony Sweat. So that'll be a fun one. So look out next Monday for that episode. But yeah, okay. I guess that's true. As we've been in the studio quite a bit.
But it's been a blast.
But no, it has been good. But we are here with Raider DeMooney is our guest, defensive player for the BYU Cougars football team. All right, I'm sure most of you know who he is, and if you don't, you know who his dad is. Jack DeMooney, the Jack DeMooney. Right, seems like he has a pretty good social media presence for the most part. He's the one that always asks for updates on Sundays on social media because he doesn't watch football.
Yeah, he's a little much.
And so, but apparently he'll post on Twitter on Sundays, but he won't watch football on Sundays. But I look forward to that every week. But no, Raider, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you being here.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
So, well, guys, how's the week so far? I know it's a bad time.
Well, last weekend was brutal. Raider kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Last weekend? Okay, yeah, Raider, please explain.
Well, it started off with the stadiums.
Oh, God.
You know, we had all the recruits there, so
our
strength staff, we went crazy on the stadiums.
Had to do something crazy in front of the recruits.
Hosting recruits, yeah, doing something crazy, showing our grit to them. And then this week, still recovering from it, so we're still in that phase.
It's Tuesday. We're recording on Tuesday, and they're still recovering from last Friday. Did we have a lot of pukers?
There was a good amount on my side.
Yeah, probably half, honestly.
Yeah.
Puked. Every single time we went down, I'd hear something behind me. So
half is insane, actually.
Maybe that's pushing it a little bit, but
there was a lot. There was a good amount.
Jeez. So I guess you guys are both with the – are you with the combos or skills?
Skills.
Skills, okay. Yeah. So you're both in the skills group. So you guys had to go all the way to the top every time.
All the way to the top, man.
Ooh, man.
Honestly, thinking about it, they had it easy, bro.
Everyone else has it steep. Easy. Like, everyone else has it easy.
Right? When they stop.
Hold on.
This is what I got to tell you.
Okay.
This is what I think should happen. I think the distances should be shorter, but I think everybody should finish at the top.
You should start halfway
because it just.
Well, yes. We did go to the top. Do you not remember? We went to the top last year.
I didn't remember. I wasn't here last year.
The first time. Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot.
So I didn't do the stadiums.
We went to the top. I thought I was going to die after two reps. And so then we changed it to where we only went halfway. And this is all I'm going to say. I know it's steeper up there. We are over 100 pounds heavier than you guys.
You're right.
You have no idea how those stadiums feel on our knees and our lower backs. I could not walk the entire weekend.
You're right.
I had to defend
myself.
You do have
smaller linemen too. There's like the small linemen.
That's true. Like Fat Boy.
Yeah.
Get Fat Boy over with the combos. You know. No, I'm just kidding. We have
explain who Fat Boy is.
Sorry.
That's Ephraim Asiata.
We call him Fat Boy. I don't even know where the nickname came from. He like plays D end and he's like really lean and kind of ripped.
Probably I don't even know if he's 200 pounds. Maybe.
Yeah, he's like 195 pound D end. So is that how he got the nickname Fat Boy because he's so skinny? But
I think
he's
that's
with
just
the
what
boys?
They've always been calling him like from when he was young.
Oh, dang.
His nickname.
Well, it's ironic now because he's so much skinnier than the rest of the Fat Boys.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, dude, you're not even 200 pounds. Get over there with the combos. But, okay. All right, well, that's brutal.
Thankfully, it's
only once a summer, right? Or are you guys going back? Do you know?
I don't know.
I'm just assuming it's going to be probably
I think
two
we did it
times.
Twice last summer. Because remember, we had the one, the day that the worst, this is probably one of the worst conditionings I've ever done. Was the day we ran to the stadium.
We ran, yeah.
That's what we did.
You did that? Okay. For O-linemen, Dude, we ran. So, okay, for context, the SAB is about a half a mile away, maybe a little more, from Lavelle Edwards Stadium. They had us run. It sounds like you guys did this on Friday. They have us run from the SAB all the way to the stadium, which for someone like me who's 325 pounds already is horrible. And like my low back is killing me. Low back killing me by the time we get there. Then the stadium start, right?
That's just the beginning.
Oh, gosh, dude. Gosh. The circle ones at the stadium weren't that bad.
No. That's what I hear. But we didn't do that. Yeah.
I wonder if next time you guys go to the stadium, you do that. Because running up those winding things is definitely not as bad as the stadiums. But, I mean, now it all comes together, right? Big official visit weekend. They had to show how tough we were to all the recruits. Grind you guys down to a pulp.
It was funny because we were just coming down the stadiums and you just look. There's a whole group of families just watching us throw up. And
dude. I remember we did that last year when Austin came on his official visit.
Austin?
My little brother.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents, my mom was like, what is going on? Every time she's come, even on Trevor's official visit like 4 years ago, she came on a Prowler suicide day.
I know.
And she came up to me, or we were talking afterwards. She's like, this is child abuse and all this other stuff. And my dad is literally having a bag of chips. He's got his popcorn, right? Just loving every second of it, watching me get destroyed. It's the same thing at the stadiums. He's over there every time I'd come down. He's like,
and then like just giving gets me you thumbs more up.
And I'm like, I'm getting pissed. Like, dad, leave me alone, man. I'm here with my friends.
Your dad is funny.
But yeah, he was like, he kept calling from the side. He's like, puke. Puke. You're like trying to get me to puke. I'm like, dude, you get your 350-pound butt running up and down these things. He's the one who needs it, not me. But anyways. But yeah. So we're over here in front of all the moms. We got people coming down just puke.
It's awesome.
Okay.
It's good all for right. us though. It's really good.
We'll get
us.
Off the topic of the stadiums. We could talk about that and the terrible conditionings we've all done over the years all day long. But okay, so we're still recovering from that. Well, hey, you guys got nothing Wednesday.
Yeah, that's the nice. Right, I was telling people tomorrow. Tuesday's probably my favorite day of the week.
Knowing you have the off day.
Yep.
Yeah, that's real nice. Because what do you guys have? All you have is a little PRP and the pathway
yeah,
meeting?
Yeah, a little team meeting.
Nice. Yeah. Can you guys talk about the pathway meeting for a minute?
Yeah.
I don't think we've talked about it yet. It's pretty cool.
It is cool. We've been able to Zoom call with people from different parts of the world. And so we covered like Africa, South America. Even there was a Polynesian call that we had. And so it's been cool seeing everybody who had the opportunity to serve their missions in different places. And we're touching the lives of other people. We're still having that effect because usually where you serve is where the people that host the meeting and stuff. And so I think it's just been really cool to do that and see, where people got to serve, the people that they served with, and lives being blessed through BYU football.
Yeah, because I've worked with the Pathway program for a couple years now, just mentoring more so on like an individual level before it became a part of like the team when Kalani kind of introduced that with Matt Downs last year.
Yep.
And for those of you listening who came to some of the football games like in person, you heard a couple of the pregame prayers were offered by some of those people associated with BYU Pathway who are, you know, earning a degree through BYU from all over the world. It's really cool. So yep. I think it's sweet that now, you know, everyone on the team gets to be connected to that because it's such a cool initiative.
The spirit is so strong when we do those calls. Like, really, when they share their testimonies and then you see at the bottom left, like 112 participants or something and all these people from Africa and just how locked in they are and you know, they probably walked 5 miles to go find service to be able to be on this call. Who knows what time it is there? And their faith is just extraordinary. And when we're able to sing the fight song at the end and they're all cheering and in the chat is just like blowing up, right? Yeah. We love you guys, hearts. And like, you know, the emojis that they can press, it just like they just press 100 times and the hearts and the smile emojis. And it's just a special thing that we're able to do every week. And hopefully we can keep going and keep growing it, and you'll see more prayers at football games from people all around the world that are connected to BYU.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things Kalani's doing, and one of the things I'm actually involved with and helping him is with one of his, you know, a little bit with one of his foundations.
Yeah,
We Are One Foundation, and we're going to try to go do service projects all over the world and involve the players too. So I'm sure you guys will be involved with that.
Yeah,
that's awesome. It's pretty cool, and actually, honestly, it ties really well into where 100%. We're starting with DNC 71. But before we get to that, Raider, we're going to give you a chance to just kind of introduce yourself for our listeners, because I know most of them, probably all of them, are going to know Raider DeMooney, the football player. But just tell us your story, man. Take a few minutes and tell us about what your life was like growing up, leading up to high school, Mission, BYU, all that stuff, and let them hear a little more about the person.
Yep. Like Raider DeMooney. I actually grew up in Hawaii. Moved to Utah when I was in eighth grade. My dad is obviously Jack DeMooney, and my mom is Shalay Mossman. She's the quite opposite of my dad. But I grew up with two great parents, and I've been blessed to be under them. Like I said, moved to Utah in eighth grade. After my eighth grade year, when my dad got hired by BYU, when Kalani got hired, that's when my dad came to BYU. And so we've been here ever since. Went to Tent View High School. Played football, basketball over there. Loved it. Loved my time being here in Utah. And then went on my mission after high school. I served my mission in the Oakland, San Francisco mission, Tongan speaking. And so, it's been a blessing. And then now I'm here at BYU. Blessed to be here. It's been great. I'm married. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What was it like on your mission being in California but speaking Tongan?
Yeah, I think learning a language in like a place that's not the actual country is a little bit hard, but it was great. Like learning that language, the people over there in Oakland and the Bay Area, the Tongan people are so faithful. There's two Tongan stakes out there, and so it was actually a really good opportunity for me to practice the language to get it down, and it's been a blessing. I married a Tongan, so it's been great. I speak better Tongan than her.
I love it. I'm sure your father-in-law loves it too.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, this is a perfect place to start and to kind of segue into DNC 71, because this section is all about sharing the gospel, right? And this is in 1831 when, you know, this is the tail end of 1831. A lot's happened. The church is changing a bunch. More and more revelations coming. The church is growing. And kind of alongside that, part of what comes with that growth is more people learn about the gospel, learn about the doctrine and things like that. Comes with more opposition, right? And that's part of the deal. And, you know, opposition was rising against the church. And Ezra Booth, who was a former member of the church, had published some letters being critical of the church and causing confusion among the saints and doing his best to try to damage the church's reputation, trying to tear it down. And so Section 71 kind of came in response to that, right? Like, okay, we got some opposition coming right now, and so we need to address it. And Section 71 is what the Lord instructed Joseph Smith to do. And it's not long, right? Only 11 verses. But some powerful ones, especially in terms of proclaiming the gospel. You know, and just starting in verse 1, you know, the Lord talking to Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon, you know, the time's come that it is necessary and expedient me that you should open your mouths and proclaiming my gospel, the things of the kingdom, expounding the mysteries thereon out of the scriptures, or thereof out of the scriptures, according to that portion of spirit and power which shall be given unto you, even as I will. So kind of starting off with just a heavy hitter, right in verse 1. It's like, hey, I need you to go share the gospel. This is needed right now. We're going to take a little pause, right, on the translation of the Bible that they were working on. And it's like, hey, we need to go and reinforce the gospel, the doctrine. All right, we need to go reinforce it.
And I like how this is how he starts. You know, they're probably focused on okay, we're getting a lot of critics, especially some members of the church that left and want to criticize us, like, and make sure that people are hating on us. But how do we respond to that? And I think it's great how he first says, open thy mouths in proclaiming my gospel. Just focus on me. And I think that's the best way we can respond to the critics, right? Is, all right, let's learn what the Savior did when critics were trying to confound him, right? And then just focus on his teachings, share what we believe about him, about Christ and his teachings. And so I kind of went deep into what the Savior did when he was having critics, you know, in his life, and he did all the time, right, when he was going about doing his work. First thing I noticed was he kept the peace. There was no contention ever. He always tried to keep the peace and love them. And he knew his doctrine really well. And that was a lot of the times that he confounded the others, right? They were just blown away by the knowledge that he had. So I think that's really important for us to make sure that when we do talk to other people that we understand the scriptures, right? We're able to, no, actually, like this is Christ's doctrine. You know, it's about peace and about love, and we're able to explain that to others. And he always referred to like being about his Father's business, right? It was never about him. It was never about them. It was always about the Father and the love that he had for him. And then he never really gossiped. You know, he always solved the issues like a man. And I loved that. That was one verse that I really liked as I was doing some research in Matthew 18. And this is all in the Come Follow Me manual as well. It says, in Matthew 18:15, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And I love that. And I feel like that's a man. You know, when you go and gossip and tell everyone about the issues that this guy has, and I feel like it happens a lot in the locker room, right? Yep. People will go tell coach, well, he was doing this, he was doing this. Now, go be a man and go confront him. You know what I mean? When he's in the wrong, and we need to keep each other accountable, right? Let's talk about it. Let's become brothers. Let's love each other. And we get into it all the time as football players, offense, defense, during workouts, during shuttles, during stadiums, you know, guys are chirping at each other. But how do we handle that, right? And how did the Savior handle that when things got out of hand and chaotic? You know, he always solved issues like a man, which I loved. And then it kind of rolls into James 1:19, which is another example of how the Savior acted. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Mm-hmm. And I love that. You know, I think it helps us a lot in our football sense, and also just everyone here listening, that in every situation we have, work, whatever it is, with our wife, with our family, you know, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, be like the Savior and do what he did in situations like this. And that's the call to Joseph and Sidney at this time is, you know, just proclaim my gospel, learn what I did, and then go do the same as you will be getting a lot of critics here in the near future.
You know, I like that a lot too. I think obviously the main thing that we're trying to do is become like the Savior, mm-hmm. and emulate the life that he lived. And so the best way to do that is by reading the scriptures. And, you know, like the scriptures that you shared, it showed all different aspects of the Savior and how he handled criticism. And being at BYU, I feel like we face a lot of criticism. You know, you go 100%. To away games and everyone has misconceptions about who we are as people,
100%.
What we believe. And I think sometimes where I can be better too is doing what the Savior would do in those situations. And so I love the promises that it gave in Doctrine and Covenant 71, where it talked about if we go out and we proclaim the gospel, like we're football players right now. Like all of it, we also did serve missions and we went out and preached the gospel, but that doesn't mean it stops there. We have the opportunity, especially being here at BYU, to share the gospel or wherever you are in life, to always be a representative of Jesus Christ. And I love the verse 8 and verse 9, verse 8 through 10, where it says, wherefore, let them bring forth their strong reasons against the Lord. Verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, there is no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And if any man lift his voice against you, he shall be confounded in my own due time. And so I think the best thing for us, and taking away from these chapters, with what Joseph's facing with Ezra Booth is know that the Lord has you. Know that the Lord is, there's promised blessings for you as you preach his gospel and as you try to be like the Savior. And so it's applicable to everybody in every aspect of life, whatever we're facing. And so that's something that I really loved from that portion of the scriptures where it talked about the Savior, it talked about dealing with persecution and criticism of other people. And yeah,
I love that.
Well, I think to kind of bring it full circle, I think it's also important to understand that it may not feel like peace all the time, right? When you're going out and proclaiming the gospel, right? I think about Matthew 10, right? And that entire chapter is Christ instructing his apostles about going out and preaching, right? And near the end of the chapter, he talks about how, like, look, sometimes preaching the gospel of peace will not always bring peace right away, you know? And sometimes where he basically is encouraging the apostles, like, he's like, sometimes you got to stand up for what you believe in, right? And there's going to be opposition. And that's when, in that chapter is when he uses the verse and the phrase that's kind of famous now, where Christ said, you know, think not that I came to bring peace, right? Like, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Mm-hmm. All right. And he talks about how the gospel, you know, staying true to him when you're surrounded by people who are not true to him is going to cause sometimes a little bit of friction, right? And that's okay sometimes, right? Not everyone is going to believe the way that we believe, and that's fine, right? But there also comes a point where you have to stand up and fight for what you believe. And I'm not saying that in the literal physical fight, you know what I mean? But where you have to defend yourself and defend your faith and defend Christ, right? And his restoration, his restored church, right? There's going to be those moments too, right? Where it's like we have to fight for that because that's the ultimate path to peace, right? Is when we put him first, right? And that's kind of what was going through my head as you two were sharing a little bit, right? Because I think both things are true. What you said, Chase, where it's like, you know, he didn't fight with people. He contended with them sometimes, mm-hmm. right? When he needed to, but he didn't fight with them. But it wasn't necessarily totally peaceful all the time. But the end resolution was always to get to that peace, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of what I took when I kind of combined what you were both saying, you know. And I think in a lot of ways, DNC 71 is similar to that chapter in Matthew 10 about going out and proclaiming the gospel. But this is just a message to two particular guys at the time, but now applicable to us.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. You know? And I think we can have that. Like you said, he contended with people, but there was never like anger. He didn't hate them.
Right.
I think that's the key. Is it coming from a hatred aspect of like, oh, motherfucker, you know, like I just want to punch you in the face. Like he never had that, kind of like Peter when he cut off the ear, right? He had that anger and that, you know, I'm going to cut your ear off, I'm going to kill you. Like, don't do that. Whereas Christ is just like, no, like in their own due time, they will be confounded, right?
Right.
So like in verse 10, and if any man lift his voice against you, he shall be confounded in mine own due time.
In his own due time.
Yes, right? In mine own due time, yeah. Christ is speaking. And then he just says, wherefore, keep my commandments. They are true and faithful. Mm. You know, even so, amen. Yeah. And I think it's that balance of, you know, the Savior wasn't afraid, obviously, to speak with people mm-hmm. and to, you know, contend with them, but there was never that anger or that hatred towards him.
Right. No, I agree. And I think that's kind of the point I was trying to make, but that's, I think that's a better way of explaining it. And I think mine own due time is key in that verse too, where it's like, sometimes it is, but it says, they'll be confounded, but in my time, not yours. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not your job to go and confound them right there. Like the Lord will do it. In his own time, just go share what you know to be true.
Yeah.
Right.
And I like to think of this always in a football sense in our season and what's happening at BYU. And
yeah, of course.
Obviously it's not directly tied to obviously the great work of God and what he's doing. But I think it is tied in a sense of like what we're doing at BYU is sharing the gospel. Like we're, when we win games, we're able to promote Jesus Christ. And I feel like a lot of people were confounded by the way that we do things at BYU. Like you were saying, we're just working on being that kind team that, but when we step on the field, like we go and win games, like, and people are confused by what's happening at BYU. And that's, I guess it ties in really well with we're confounding our enemies and being able to help them understand that it's not all about, you know, this anger and, you know, that we come from. We come from love. We come from this culture that's driven by love and learn. That's our culture that Kalani, mm-hmm. that Kalani speaks about all the time. And he's sharing conference talks with us during meetings and all this. That's where this fight, this, you know, desire to contend comes from, is from a place of love. And that's why a lot of people, I think, are confused by what's happening at BYU, because they think we're the lovey-dovey, like, have right. a couple, everyone's married, has kids, and we're all older. And it's just, yeah, it's just confusing to them, which is amazing. And in our, like, in God's due time, I think BYU, and what we've been seeing it right now, right, of what we're doing on the field with basketball, with every sport is we're confounding a lot of people and confusing a lot of people, which is awesome and means we're doing the right thing.
I wonder sometimes, I guess, and maybe this is a question I can pose to the two of you, how do you think – because obviously this section is directed at the president of the church and, well, I don't know if he was president at this time yet. I don't think the first presidency was organized yet, but two of the leaders of the church, right, to go out and proclaim the gospel. It's like, we know the leaders of the church, that's their full-time role, right, to go and proclaim the gospel. But I kind of want to level with, like, just every member of the church, right? Like, how is this section, section 71, applicable for us? Right, as members in our day-to-day lives, right? Like, how can we take these promises that come with proclaiming the gospel, and how does that affect normal life? And what do you guys think?
One thing that I was thinking about when I was reading the verses was, like, just reading about Ezra Booth and how he was a member before, and, like, he witnessed miracles performed mm-hmm. through the priesthood. He's seen Joseph Smith and the faith that he had. And I think it's important. Something that I took that really stood out to me that I wanted to share was how it's applicable to us in our lives is how fast you can switch up if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And mm-hmm. so, like, just thinking about the small and simple things, you know, reading your scriptures, saying your prayers, going to church and doing stuff like that, which obviously no one's perfect, but, like, having that desire and continuing to try your best to do the little things keeps you safe and keeps you level-headed and your testimony continues to grow. And so that's something that stood out to me in that chapter, was that someone who witnessed miracles. Like, there's things in my life that I've witnessed that I can't deny that it's the gospel is true. Like, I know God and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so it's crazy, because at that, there's a point in time where he was also on that same page as us. And it's just important. Like, I thought about it, because I've been in my life, I struggle with, you know, going every day reading my scriptures or doing things like that. But I know that those are the things that keep you straight, that keep the Spirit to be with you, which in turn helps you to proclaim the gospel in a better way and has the Spirit lead the things you do. And so that's something that stood out to me while I was reading these chapters, was stick to the small and simple things, man, and you'll be straight.
Huge. Yeah, that's huge. I always think of our prophet and what he said about the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. Like, he literally pointed out that we can't survive. Like, there's no way to survive spiritually without the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. It's just going to be too hard, right? We're just going to give up. And that's why it's so important to keep doing the small and simple things. Like you're saying, we have a sheet that the coach sends every day from our infractions that we've had during the day of not snapping up or doing the little small, it's called small and simple things. That's what it says at the top of the sheet. And we look at our infractions and what we didn't do, what we did wrong. If we kind of got rid of that, I feel like the small and simple things that we miss out on and keep, you know, messing up on and not taking account for will become those big things. We'll end up losing a lot of football games. And I think that's directly related to life. When we forget about the small and simple things, it results in a loss and something that, you know, maybe our loss of our testimony and, you know, something that will like drastically affect our life and our future.
Couldn't agree more with both of you. I think those are great answers. And I think also just in the context of how sharing the gospel can apply, one thing I was thinking about is that especially now, not being a full-time missionary anymore, right, is like just regular everyday member, you know. And obviously we have a cool platform here with football and the podcast and things like that, and, you know, social media followings where we get to kind of share a little more, you know, than maybe the average member does. And that's cool too. But I think one of the things is just to just live the gospel, right? I think so much of this proclaiming to the world, you don't have to go out and stand on a soapbox, but don't actively hide it, right? And I think that, in my opinion, in my observations, right, of just everyday life, I think that's where we're lacking the most, because the gospel speaks for itself with the results of the lives of the people who live it, right? And when people witness that, they're kind of like, oh, man, that's cool. That's something I want to learn more about. So many, and I know you guys have had the same experiences because I've heard you share them, but just so many times in the mission field when somebody's there who wants to learn, they had a friend who was a member who was living the gospel, and they felt something different about them. And that person, all they did was not actively try to hide it. And I think sometimes maybe in social situations, especially now, because you think about the opposition there, this guy's out writing letters that say mean things about us. Now we don't write letters anymore, but we make Instagram reels, right, and post TikToks, you know, of people attacking our beliefs all the time, sometimes even desecrating some of the things that we hold sacred. And, you know, sometimes in those moments, if someone's coming like, hey, are you a Mormon, right? I think some people kind of shy away from that a little bit, right? And they'd rather kind of hide and not be associated with it. Where it's like, look, no one's asking you to go back out on the street like you did as a missionary, mm-hmm. right? And go stand out with your sign and with your Book of Mormon and do all this stuff. But don't hide your light under a bushel, right? As the scriptures say, your life and your dedication to the Savior will be an example among the believers, right? Like it says in Ephesians. And I feel like, and as I posed that question that I posed to you guys to myself, right? I feel like that's where not only I can improve, right? Mm-hmm. But I think collectively, it's real easy to do it when you're with all your member friends, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, what happens when you go somewhere else?
Yep.
You know, and you're not surrounded by that. Just like, just don't be ashamed of it. Be open about it. And if they disagree, no problem, mm-hmm. right? No problem. Anyways,
no, I love
that's kind of what I was thinking, right? As we were going through that,
but I think one thing I want to share about
that, please.
I think so. When I was growing up in Hawaii, I was on Maui, but there wasn't a lot of members on the island. And when you talked about actively hiding, I feel like as a little kid, there would be times where I'm actively hiding, but my parents were always like the best examples of standing up for what you believe in. And they were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ or being members mm-hmm. of the church. And so obviously I loved football growing up. Like I love basketball. I love football. I loved any type of sports, but in where I was living, there was the league that played on in Hawaii. They only played on Sundays. And so my parents, or like if I went to a basketball tournament on off island and they played on Sundays, my parents wouldn't let me play, or I wasn't allowed to play in the league growing up because of Sunday. And everyone would ask me, why aren't you playing? And I'd just be like, I can't. I'm not trying. I don't know.
Mom and dad said no.
Yeah. But every single time my parents would tell me, this is, we believe that the Sunday is the Sabbath day and we're going to respect it. and we're going to give this day to God and go to church and do what we need to do at church. And so I think that played a role in my life to understand how important it is to stand up for what you believe in. And it's blessed the lives of other people. There were so many people on that. Like, everyone knows each other on that island. But when people, it came to the point where when it was Sunday, people wouldn't even ask us to play. They just respected it. And I think that's a form of missionary work that I've experienced in my life through facing opposition. You know, because obviously as missionaries, we've been in areas where we faced opposition and everyone, right. Like, you know, you're getting criticized all the time. But like a real life experience, this is where I kind of learned and grew my own testimony, was seeing the example of my parents who stood up for what they believed in and taught their kids. And so I think that's been a big blessing in my life and has helped me in every aspect. But it's also blessed the lives of other people and my friends too. So,
and I'm sure the reason why your parents did that is that they've had experiences. They've seen blessings from keeping the Sabbath day holy. And that was the coolest thing to see on my mission too, those that were converted to the gospel. They loved it so much that they could not hide the joy that they felt when they lived the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they just wanted to share it with everybody. And that's because they were living it and they were doing it. They were studying, they were wanting, they were craving just the word of God every day. They were meeting as a family and reading scriptures. And, you know, the next thing you know, they're calling us, hey, we invited this family, the neighbor family, to come read scriptures with us today. They want to meet the missionaries. And that was their life. Like, it literally was their life. And we were over at their house every single day, this certain family that I served with on my mission. And the cool thing was I got to stay in the same area for 2 years. And so I never left, you know, these families that, and you could tell which ones were just strong, just faithful, just loved the gospel so much. They loved their Savior. They had that foundational, you know, peace in their home. And we were teaching in their home every week. That we had a, you know, that was their goal, to have a family, different family in their home every week to teach. And they didn't care if they accepted or not. It was just, hey, we invited them over for dinner. And, you know, that's what the Lord asked for, is our effort. And we were hoping that they'd accept it because of the joy that we feel when we have the gospel in our home. But unfortunately, they didn't. But, you know, maybe next year. That was their mindset. And I just love that. I think we can all have, you know, the mindset of these Filipino people. Yes, they're so joyful and so amazing.
That's why they're getting so much temples out there.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe if we'd people. Step it up, we'd get more temples. Let's go. More beautiful buildings around the true. U.S.
Yeah, yeah. I had a similar experience with a family from Africa.
Yeah.
Where there was a family, the Sese family, where they were tracted into before I got to the area and stuff, but then I got to know them once I got there, and they were baptized, and they were just, I think what you were saying, right, about them, how they just wanted to share it because it's changed their life. Like, the gospel is designed to change your life. And I think true conversion to the Savior and his gospel, you naturally want to share it when you're truly converted, right? Because of all the amazing things it's done for you. Like, you equate it to somebody like your favorite products or favorite sports teams. You'll chat all day with your friends about that stuff. And the second you find any news, you're sending it into the group chat with the boys, right? And all this stuff. Like, I feel like the gospel should be that way, right? Or I don't know what all the girls chat about, but something. Maybe there's new, some Taylor Swift did something, or, you know, I don't know, right? I'm just kidding. It's a generalization. Or there's new makeup product, or so-and-so did this, that's something cool. So-and-so did this, like, I feel like that's how the gospel should be, right? Where it's like you take some of your favorite things in this life and you always want to share it with your friends and family. Like, why the gospel should be one of those things, right? And the Sese family exemplified that, where it was like the same similar thing. We stopped by their apartment every day and his wife did hair. Right. And in the African community, that's a big deal. Having someone who knows how to do hair the right way. Right. And some of the braids she would do and some of the designs, it would take hours. And one of the things he said was like, if you come in and you're getting your hair done by my wife, you have to listen to
the whole lesson. Yeah.
And so we would literally, there would be some days where we taught three lessons in the same day. In their apartment.
That's awesome.
Because the person that his wife was doing their hair, she'd be sitting there doing their hair in the living room and her in the chair and all that stuff, and we'd be on the other side having a discussion
See,
with them.
That's so awesome.
Teaching with them, and they're bringing people to church constantly, and all this stuff. And I think it's just because they felt that joy.
It was a part of their life. It was them. It was who they were.
Right.
And it didn't come off like pushy or anything because it was who they were. That's what we need to do. Is
and
make
all their
it a
friends realized that they were just sharing something they loved.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And if it's like it's if you're scared to invite your friends or there's been somebody on your mind who you think could use the gospel, I promise you, if you just present it in a way that like, look, this is something that I love. And because of that, I wanted to share it with you because you're someone that I love. Almost no one will react negatively to that. They may not accept it at the time, and that's okay. But I don't think almost anybody would react negatively to one of their friends genuinely being like, hey, this is something I love, and I want to share it with you, you know?
And I think that's why we serve missions. I mean, the Lord wouldn't send 18, 19-year-olds out on a mission if he wanted his work to be done the best way, if that makes sense. Like, these are the worst group to send, you know? He just cares about us setting a foundation so that we can be disciples for life. This is a moment, this is a time to go out and establish your testimony and to go share it, go see the joy of the gospel and how it can change lives, and then do it for the rest of your life. Make it a part of who you are. And I loved what my mission president taught me all the time. He was always like, Elder Roberts, the Lord doesn't need you out here. Like, he really doesn't. He's going to get his work done, you know, with or without you. And that always like shocked me and stuff. But it made sense also as he kept explaining, like, this is, you know, a time for you to establish your testimony. And I think that's why it's such a foundational piece in these young lives of these young missionaries, and take it seriously. And there's also times you'll see that people out there that need you and that need your personality and that you can help, you know, a lot come unto Christ.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And, I mean, you think about the support that you have as a missionary too, with your fellow missionaries, senior couples, your mission presidents. Like, I mean, you think about that support group, and I bring that up to tie it into kind of section 72, you know, where Newell K. Whitney is called as a bishop, right? And it's essentially his roles are to help support the elders, right? And whatever they're doing, and they have to give an accounting to him, and on the flip side, he makes sure that they're doing the small and simple things that you talked about earlier on, Raider, to make sure that they're worthy to do what they're doing. And I think that support system, whether that comes from your bishop, other church leaders, youth leaders, your parents, siblings, whatever, right? I think that support system too is a huge key in kind of accomplishing what we've talked about, right? Because there's beauty in doing things together, right? And, you know, I was thinking about that, and, you know, kind of, I haven't been able to get off my mind. You mentioned those small and simple things earlier, Raider, and I haven't really stopped thinking about that since you brought it up, because we had this dumb little acronym in my mission. We called it spiritual CPR. I'm sure you guys have heard of that before. Yep. Or used the same thing. I'm pretty sure it's church-wide at this point. But, you know, spiritual CPR, church, pray, read, right? Go to church, say your prayers, read your scriptures. I've never met anyone who has fallen away from the gospel of Jesus Christ who's done those three things consistently. Right. And to me now, it makes so much sense, because I think about what I struggle with. And a lot of times it falls into one of those categories, right? Those three things. Oh, man, I got to teach this lesson for my calling or whatever. It's like, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. Or sometimes, you know, I'll think about, oh, man, I need to pray. And I'll think back and it's like, man, it's been a week since I've said a prayer. right? It's like those are the times when it's like when I start to feel disconnected and I'm starting to have like, oh man, I'm not really feeling it, is when, oh man, I've kind of lost my connection, right, with my Father in heaven. For me, I would say honestly, honest to truth, just being vulnerable and like maybe exposing myself a little bit. Like prayer is one of the things that I struggle with the most. Personal prayers. I'll go 2 or 3 days just simply forgetting to pray for no other reason other than just forgetting. And when I start to have moments where maybe it's like, man, like I'm not feeling as good as I normally do, or maybe all of a sudden I'm being like rude to somebody and it's like, man, I don't normally act like this. What's going on? And I'll think about it. It's like, man, I haven't connected with God in 4 or 5 days. Right. I'm starting to notice correlations with that. And, cause you think about it, it's like not praying and then expecting you to feel close to God. Right. I help mentor kids all the time who are like, especially ones preparing for missions. Or it's like, I just feel like God isn't that close to me. And I'll ask them, when's the last time you prayed? And they'll be like, 3 days ago or something. Right. And it's, or like, when's the last time you read the scriptures? Oh, I haven't read in like a week. Well, it's like, well, that's a huge way he speaks back, right? But it's like, think about your earthly friends, right? It's like you don't talk to somebody for a year, and then you're pissed that they're not your friend. It doesn't make any in that context. It doesn't make any sense, right? But it's somehow it's like when it comes to our relationship with God, all of a sudden we feel like we can lack some of those basic relationship qualities and still expect it to be strong, right? Which I don't think is right, you know?
No, going along with that and to like, as well as Chase, like I noticed myself that too. Like if I'm treating someone maybe not in the best way, I think back, was I reading my scriptures? Was I saying my prayer? But then I also think back to what Chase was saying with missionary work and being a missionary to set up you for the rest of your life. Like, think about what you do as a missionary. You go, you read your scriptures every day, you pray, like, almost every opportunity you get. And I can honestly say at that time, when I'm doing all those things, I feel like the most confident man in the world. Like, spiritually confident, I'm ready to go out that door and talk to somebody. And, like, I'm just confident in every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
But I also don't think God intended us to just experience that while we're missionaries. And so, going along with what Chase said, that's the foundation. That's what you learn. But those things are supposed to be applied after the mission too. And it's hard. It's really hard, especially when you come home and you're just a, you know, we have busy schedules. We all played football.
Life gets really busy.
But I think about those times of when I was just spiritually confident in everything. And I could just go out and I was nice to people. I was looking to serve, opportunities to serve every opportunity I could get. Like sometimes I look back, I'm like, dang, I can't believe I was doing that all the time. Cause like I'm far from perfect, but I know those are the things that lead you to do good in the world. And so I think that's something that's very important. And I love how you both mentioned that.
Yeah. And even we needed even more. So I guess that spirit with us and that confidence that we had on our mission, we need it even more so now, right? And the hard thing is we lose it because of the busy schedules and we just forget, like you were saying, Connor, to pray, to do the simple things, because life gets so busy. We fill up our schedules with stuff that when it comes to eternal significance might not be that important, but yet, you know, we still need to get it done. It is important, and I think we can tie in the gospel into these situations and be able to become more like him. I always think of the story that Jimmer told of when Elder Ballard gave him a call. This was right as he got into the league, and he was struggling, you know, on the Kings. And Elder Ballard gave him a call and said, hey, Jimmer, just wanted to check in. You know, how you doing? And then they got talking about how he was struggling, and he just didn't know what to do and how to figure this situation out. He wasn't playing well. And Elder Ballard goes, Jimmer, are you reading your scriptures? And Jimmer thought back. He's like, no, I actually haven't read my scriptures in a couple weeks. And he's like, well, there you go. And he was, you know, that was his answer. And he started to read his scriptures, and ultimately he, you know, started to figure things out, and he had a successful career. Maybe not the one that he specifically wanted in the NBA, but he was able to make a big influence around the world. And I think that came in doing the small and simple things and proclaiming the gospel to the people that he knew and that he passed by. And I have a strong testimony of sharing the gospel and doing the small and simple things. I think if we can just make it a part of our daily life and understand the joy that comes from the gospel and look back on the experiences, especially our mission, to where we felt the joy and the peace that the gospel brings into our life, it's going to be so easy, so much easier to share it with other people. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be words coming out of our mouth, but just the actions that we take and people looking at the light that we have, you know, be a light to the world, like the scriptures say. And I know that my Savior lives, and as we live his gospel, that we will feel the peace and the joy and the desire to bring others unto Christ and, you know, make football a part of, or the gospel a part of our football life and the gospel a part of every day and every action that we take. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, no, I thank you, Chase, for that. I add my testimony to that as well. I have such a strong testimony of missionary work and the blessings that it brings to your lives. I know that missionary work helps you to be a light to other people, and it helps other people feel of God's love. And not only does it help other people feel of God's love and their worth for that God has for them, but it helps you to accept God's will in everything that you do. You know, when you're spreading the gospel, when you're doing the simple things like we talked about through prayer, scripture study, going to church, those little things build your testimony, which helps you to accept God's will, and which has been ultimately the biggest blessing in my life. You know, I know God loves me. I know that he wants the best for me and that he's going to provide the things in my life that he thinks are the best for me. And I have a testimony that God lives, that Jesus Christ is his son, and that he atoned for all of us. And I'm grateful for the gospel. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I have as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that we all have here at BYU to spread the gospel and to help others come closer to him. And I know that brings people the most joy that they can feel in their lives. And so I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, both of you, for sharing,
of course,
your thoughts and testimonies during the episode today. And I'll just add mine to it also. And I know we had to get through 71 through 75, but I'm not at all surprised that we, you know, spent most of our time in 71 just because of, you know, the experiences that we've all had with the joy of sharing the gospel, right? Not only is that being your full-time responsibility as a missionary, like you mentioned, Raider, and so did you, Chase, but also just being missionaries in your day-to-day life. Like, we go back, take some time, read the Abrahamic Covenant, right? And then the promises that are that you all cherish, there are responsibilities associated with that covenant that we've made, and taking the gospel to the world is one of our covenantal obligations, right, as being baptized members of Christ's church, right? Just thinking you can skip by and saying, well, we fed the missionaries this week, we can check our missionary work box, is not at all the case. You have a responsibility individually and in your families to share the gospel, but that can be totally normal and natural, right? Living the gospel, in my opinion, living the gospel and not hiding the benefits of living the gospel are the best way we can share it, right? It's the results that you get in your family from truly living the gospel of Jesus Christ are all the evidence that you'll ever need, and all the evidence your friends and will ever need when they see you and your family. And I've experienced that. And, you know, the evidence that I have from living the gospel and some of the things we've mentioned about how we feel ourselves change when we're not living it as well as we should, even when it comes to something simple like scripture reading or saying our prayers, right, that we can feel a difference. You know, there's a power that can come into your life from living the Savior's gospel. And I have a testimony of that, and I invite you all to live it. See what you can do this week, today, just to do something a little bit better, right? So I'm gonna get a little better in this area today. And try to do that and see what positive changes are made in your life, and then just don't hide Don't hide that light that the gospel brings in your life. Don't be ashamed of it. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Raider, for being willing to come and hang out with Chase and me on the podcast today, man. You're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. That was awesome.
And thank you, everyone. Thank you, Chase, for co-hosting with me.
Of course.
As always.
Yeah.
Right? Thank you all for listening. You know, this has been another episode of 2 Point Conversion, right? You can catch us every Monday. We're releasing everywhere that you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts,
right?
YouTube. And, you know, just recently, the past 4 or 5 episodes, we've transferred to where we have video on YouTube, right? So go check out the 2 Point Conversion section on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel. And so thank you all for listening. As always, means the world to us, and we hope you have a great week studying your Come Follow Me.
2 Point Conversion is a production of BYU Radio.